Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and I am so glad to be with you this evening. I have a special guest, and my guest is a comeback guest, and people were calling me saying, hey, I need you to get her back on. Who is that young lady preaching so hard? And I keep telling y'all, she's about 4'11", but she preached like she's about 17, I promise you. But, you know, as always, I got to get through the logistics. First of all, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you want to need prayer, I need you to call in. Because the number to call in is 323-870-4174. That is 323-870-4174. If you can't get that number, call 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. You are on Purpose Kingdom Radio, and we are on blogtalk.purposekingdom.com. I need you guys to listen in. Go online, check out the show. And if you want to hear us again, all you got to do is go back on the blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, and you can get the show over again. Also, go to our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and they will post the shows on the Facebook page so you can't miss it. I thank God for you. Now, we have a special topic. And before I get to the topic, we got to read the scriptures, the inspirational scriptures for our evening. Proverbs 25:28. That is Proverbs 25:28. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Now I'm going to read Proverbs 16:32. That is Proverbs 16:32. And it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, then he taketh a city. So, before I bring on my guests, I just want to tell you guys that we have a special topic. And it's because the city, it's because the country, the world is literally being turned upside down. Pandemic, racial injustice, fighting, violence, protesting, world global change, and people are taking sides on so many other issues. Things are being done under our noses that we have no idea about. Government is changing. Legislation is changing. And we got a fool in the White House to tell you the truth. But, now, all these things, we still have to go to God. So with everything we go to God for, there are some things we really have to go to God about. So tonight is, God, I'm angry. You know, I know a lot of times we do a lot of different things. We're upset when we're angry. But at this time, at this frustrating, hard fight, finance crisis, pandemic crisis, not knowing what to do, your normal has changed. There comes a point where you say, God, I'm angry. So I want to introduce you to my special guest, Elder Alicia Cooper. How are you out there?
Hey, I'm on special tonight. People were asking for
God.
Me.
Praise God. I'm happy. Especially right now when things are really crazy and we're trying to adapt and to adjust to so many different things in our lives. And we're frustrated. Like, I'm not the only one that's just tired and overwhelmed. And we were just talking to Pastor Toy before we got on, and I said, this is the hardest I've ever had to work in ministry in my life. And I feel like Moses sometimes, because Moses said, I can deal with Pharaoh. I can handle Pharaoh. But what do I do with them? What do I do with the children of Israel? And it seems like we've had to fight with Pharaoh and fight with our own people at the same time. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes it's easier to fight that enemy. But in all things, we still have to go to God, and we have to figure this thing out. So like I said, we're talking about God, I'm angry. Elder, if you can just like chime in on this topic and just say, God, I'm angry. First of all, before we talk about the topic, kid, with everything that's going on, if you could say, God, I'm angry, what would you say you're angry about?
Oh.
I know it's a hard question.
Lord.
Because we have to be honest. We have to be transparent.
You know,
and
listen, outside of the preacher, outside of the elder, you know what I mean? As a mother of two black boys.
Right.
One that, you know, he has the look of what they would call, quote unquote, a hoodlum. You know, he's tall, of a darker complexion, locks in his hair. You know, so when people see him, they kind of tense up because of, you know, his size or whatever. And then I got the little shorty that's about my height, you know. People look at him and they're like, oh, he thinks he's better than everybody else. He thinks he's cute, you know, because he's talented. He's cocky and all of this other stuff. And honestly, my anger is like, yo, I can't do nothing as a mother to protect my boys when they walk out my door. How is it? There used to be a time where your children could walk out, they could play outside, they could do, you know, whatever it is, and you knew that your kids were going to be safe because if you're not watching them, the neighbor watching them, if it ain't the next door neighbor, it's the neighbor across the street. Somebody is making sure that all of the kids is fine. But when my boys leave out the door, I have to pray, Lord, please allow them to, you know, to come back. Don't let a cop who want to use their authority to, you know, to stop my boys or somebody who look at them who ain't my color get scared or so to speak, and they decide to pull a gun and shoot my son. You know, that unfortunately in this day and age, that is a whole reason alone for me to be angry. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
there's no place anymore where we can just say, hey, listen, you know, go. You can't even send your kids to the store without being fearful that they're going to come back. And the store could be like two doors down.
Yep. That's
bad. So if you want me to start with that, yes. That's I was like, God, please. Like, you know, I'm worried at night, especially, you know, when they come home from work or wherever they're coming from. I got to worry. I'm up like, Lord, please protect my boys. I plead the blood of Jesus over my boys. Let them come back home. Not that I don't have to worry about my daughter, but when it comes to my boys, it's another story.
Right. I understand the first one being out there, and, you know, I always worry about, you know, I got a young son. My son is only 5, but I know the time is coming where I have to have the conversation of, son, this is how you respond to police. This is how you conduct yourself in the street so you can come home safe. Not, you know, I don't want you to get in trouble. No, I want you to come home. And that fear, that anger, that anxiety, because as a black man, I've been in that situation. I've had to, you know, stand at a cop car and have my hands on the car and get searched. I've had those experiences. So to feel like, you know, that's going to be my settlement, you know, it's crazy. So I got you. And, you know, it used to be just your son. Like, I worry about my girls, too. You know, I worry about my daughters. And in this time, I understand why people are angry. I get it, you know. I understand why, you know, there was a lot of Facebook posts about, you know, why are you burning down your neighborhoods? Why are you destroying things? Why are you so angry? What would make you, you know, riot? First of all, they didn't start the riots. Thank God for cameras. And secondly, when you feel like you have no ownership of anything, you don't look at it as yours. And no, I'm not excusing that behavior. I just understand it.
There's no excuse for the behavior at all. You know what I mean? There's no excuse for the behavior at all. However, you know, they say that everybody speaks out differently.
Right.
And everybody's voice is different. Well, I do not condone the looting. I don't condone the rioting or anything like that. Please understand that. It frustrated me watching it, you know.
Right.
I was scared for some of them people's lives, especially on Armingo Avenue when they ran into the Foot Locker and the cop pulled out the taser, but the taser got stuck, so he pulled out his gun, and I'm thinking somebody's gonna get shot on Channel 10, and I'm scared because I don't want to say scared. I don't think scared is the right word, but when you're watching people and on the inside, it's like, yo, do you not realize that you're pretty much doing what they're expecting of you? Can you do something different?
Exactly.
Do something. It's okay to stand with each other, stand hand in hand and block it off. You know what I mean? But that's self-control. So that's another topic for another.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We've done things different. We've marched peacefully, and they called dogs and water hoses, and they fired guns. We took knees, and they told us that we were disrespecting our military and our flag. We led peaceful protests, and they told us that we were in the way and we were causing problems. We've done legislation. We've done everything different. What do we tell people who feel like they're running out of options? And that's why I'm having this conversation of God, I'm angry, because I think people feel like they're running out of choices. And it's easy to say, be slow to anger. It's easy to say, be angry but sin not. Those are easy quotes until it comes down your lane, until it's your child, and until it's your brother or father with a knee on their neck. It is easy to say, hey, control your emotions, or, you know, have a meek spirit, you know. All that sounds wonderful until it's your turn. So that's why I want to have this conversation and really just focus on, you know, some real solutions, and not necessarily always solutions, but some real moments to heal, because people need to heal right now. They're hurting, and this is the language of hurt. You know, I stood out on the protest. I was out there. I was talking to police. I had to tell my son, hey, don't do that. Like, we're trying to make a change here. I had to say, officer, can I pray with you and them? I had to check on my friends who were cops. Like, I did the whole nine. And still, I go home tired and emotionally feeling like, did it make a difference? You know, did it cause some type of change? And I sit with that. So if Elder, you can give a word of encouragement, because I know something is there. If you can encourage somebody who just feels tired and they feel like, what else can I do? What would you tell that person?
Well, to tap on what you honestly said, you know, well, what about the people who feel like, you know, that, you know, you said about quoting is easy and telling people things is easy. It is absolutely easy to tell somebody something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, don't do that. It's easy to say, do this. It's harder for people to show. And honestly, if we get to the place where instead of us telling people what to do, but showing people what to do, we definitely could come to a better place overall. You know, you praying with people and you praying with the cops and you praying with the protesters and bringing them hand in hand. Guess what? There are people watching that. I told my kids, I said, when you drop breadcrumbs, even the people that you don't expect to pick them up, they might be at a distance. They might be picking up the first piece of breadcrumb you drop, but they're watching you the whole time. And they're learning from your example. The thing is to not give up, even in the midst of your tired.
Wow.
You know, people sit in the shadows and watch positivity. You know what I'm saying? Positivity will always speak louder because positivity comes with action.
Right. Right.
It's so.
Go ahead, keep going.
You know, so that's always, even when I talk to my kids, I say, listen, negativity, yeah, it gives a lasting impression, but negativity, all it do is talk.
Right.
Positivity, giving positive action. People look at the action, and while you may not feel like your action is doing anything because negativity is speaking louder, there are people watching you, and they're learning from you, and they're picking up everything that you're showing them, and they're literally changing their lives. You might not be able to see it now, but you never know. That brother that was sitting there that you was praying with or praying for may find you again and tap you on the shoulder and say, yo, bro, listen, you were – we were down Center City and, you know, I was going through something and you prayed with me and my life changed after that. I didn't see it up front.
Right.
But later on, you know, I begin to see a change even in me. So you can't, you know, you have to look at the positive that you're doing. And even in the positive that you're doing, remember that God don't allow you to do anything unnoticed, especially not something positive.
Right. Nothing will return back void at all. I really want to scriptures and you know, because like I said, when I looked at scriptures about being angry and about, you know, emotions and stuff like that, there the scripture in let's see, Acts 3:19-21. Now, I find it funny that this is in the anger section because it says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now I'm like, what does this have to do with anger? I'm like, I'm going through this. Okay, this is about anger, holding in peace. And I'm like, what is waiting on Jesus? What is cares on Jesus? What is giving him everything have to do with my anger? And why is it something that I'm, maybe this is the missing link. Maybe even in my anger, I'm not releasing it, because the Bible says only a fool rests in his anger. Meaning I'm not going to subdue myself. I'm not going to sit in my anger. I have to release it. And I think we have come to a point where we're angry and we don't know how to release.
I agree.
We don't know how to cast our cares. We don't know how to cast our cares. And we haven't found a way to give it to God. And how do I give what hurts me to God? This is something that, I mean, even when we talk to elders or saints, you can talk to the best pastor or the best preacher, and that question will always remain, how do I give what hurts away? Because it seems like it should be easy to give away my pain, but for some reason, as much as I want to throw it away, it seems like my pain has me. So what do I do with my pain? And we have to constantly create a way to give it to Christ, knowing that he's coming, knowing that things are going to change when he comes. How do I continuously give this thing to God? I mean, right now, you know, me and you talk, and we have conversations about things that frustrate us and really get under our skin. And in that moment, you know, we're just, you know, running off our feelings, but we're releasing it. And everybody doesn't have the opportunity to release. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with us as a church. We haven't afforded people the opportunity to release what they really feel, because we all come to church guarded up and we come masked up, and there's no space for release. And we have to change that. We have to give people the opportunity to release whatever it is. Elder, where are you with just trying to find a way to unleash what's inside?
So
I know these are hard questions.
Yeah, you bore me on a hard night. I told you to change the topic. You ain't want to listen.
No, not at all.
The Bible says in Ephesians, you said it a little bit earlier, it says, be angry. Paraphrasing, be angry but sin not, and don't allow the sun to go down on your wrath, and don't give place to the devil, you know. And it goes into the thing you was talking about, casting your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you, and you know, to leave your burden, you know, give your burdens to the Lord, and to, you know, you know, that he will always keep you uplifted, and all these great things that we hear. And you're absolutely right. Everybody don't have a source of release. I remember there was a time in my life that I couldn't talk to nobody, because when I felt myself trying to vent, to kind of get things off of me, and before I hung up the phone good, before I turned around good, you know, before I walked out the door, there was somebody that was able to tell me exactly what I said to somebody else, with something added, something subtracted, something multiplied, and something divided. And I'm like, okay, I can't talk to nobody, because every time I try to, I find myself more in a place of hurt than I was before I thought I released it. So I begin to journal. I begin to write it down.
Okay.
You want me to tell all? Want me to tell me all my secrets?
Go ahead. I need all of them.
I begin to pretend that a teddy bear is somebody that really hurt me, and beat the teddy bear up the way I wanted to beat the person up.
Poor
you
teddy bear.
But it was ways that I had to use to get it out, because what I find myself doing when I got back to church and I tried to minister, I would minister out of anger.
Come on, yeah.
I would preach out of anger. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really encouraging the people. I was angry. And because I was angry, all you heard was my anger. You know, and it wasn't intentional. It was not intentional at all to spew it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize that as a leader, I was bleeding on the sheep. The thing that I was supposed to keep concealed, because I was supposed to help the sheep get to a certain place, the blood, the wounds that I should have allowed God to heal, the things I should have gave to God and left it there, the things that I was supposed to pray about and not pick it back up, which is something that we all do. We pray about it. We say we're putting it in the hands of the Lord. But even we don't trust God enough to say that he can handle it. You know, and I find myself hurting people that did not deserve to be hurt because of the anger that I was carrying from someone else, from something that transpired in the past, from something that just transpired a few minutes ago, and now we have innocent people hurt because I'm hurt.
Wow. Yeah.
So
wow.
What I was mad at, the thing that I didn't want to feel anymore, the hurt and the anger that I was experiencing, I'm now being what I didn't want to experience. I'm now doing what I didn't want to experience, and I'm putting it on somebody who did not deserve it. And to understand that, and you know me, I'm a definition person, to be angry is having a strong feeling or showing annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. It's really being hostile because of something or an emotion that you're feeling that you cannot control. One of the scriptures, and you know, I said this to you earlier, James 1:19. I'm not reading out the King James, but it says, "My dear brother and sister, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to become angry." And I got to a point where I was reading this, and I said, "Lord, I don't want to be slow to be. I don't want to be slow to become angry. I want to be angry. I want them to feel that I'm angry. I want them to hear everything I got to say. And then later on, I might shut my mouth and let them talk."
Okay.
Listen,
you
I'm going
to say, God, I get back
I
to you later.
Listen, you know, like, it, but it's the truth. Is it truth anyhow? And one of the things that we're missing in the church is transparency. People can't get delivered because they can't see anybody for who they are. Everybody want to put up this mask and this facade, and I'm somebody and I'm something, and that's nice and that's fine. But when I'm going through, I don't need to see your mask. I need to see somebody who's been where I'm at so you can help me through it.
Right.
I don't want to be slow to anger. I want you to feel what I'm feeling.
Right.
It's crazy, but it's a reality.
Listen, the word tells us that even in our anger, so like I talked about Moses, like Moses got so angry at one point that he allowed his anger and the frustration of the other people weighing on him and constantly, just getting to him. It got to him so much till he went against God.
Okay.
And this is the point. This is the point where I'm afraid of. I don't want us to get so hurt, get so pushed into a place of anger that we go against God and we miss what God has for us. Remember, Moses
had to look at his promise.
It's funny because
I was going to go there.
Yeah, like Moses had to look at his promise and never touch it.
But not only that, watch this though. This is the thing. This is when I look at that text, the thing that really gets me is the fact that God told Moses to strike the rock for a few chapters before, right? Not too far before. He said to strike the rock and it would give him water. And he struck the rock and it gave him water. In his anger, he remembered that striking the rock work.
Come on.
Even though God told him to speak to the rock, right? Because when he struck the rock, the water flowed. It was God showing him that he's still in control. But when he got angry with the people, instead of him doing what God told him to do, he did what he remembered worked.
Yeah.
Wow. Striking the rock before work. You want water? Here you go. I'm going to hit the same spot I hit before. you're going to get exactly what you got before, but in me being angry because you refuse to do what you're supposed to do, now I can't receive the blessing that I was supposed to get. And this is why I tell people, you know, I love the saying, and people say it all the time, what God has for me is for me, and while he may have intended it to be for you, your anger and your feelings can make you forfeit what God had for you, and you want to watch somebody else walk right into it.
Right. Everything has a condition.
That's the whole thing in a nutshell. You know, sometimes our anger will make us miss out on a whole lot of stuff. There's an old saying, I remember this saying like the back of my hand because they used to say it to me all the time. You know, people cut off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
You know,
telling your age. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem telling my age. I am proud of what delivered me to see 30 something. Amen.
But 30 something. Okay. All right, I'm going to rock with that. I'm going to go with that.
You get so angry that the one thing that you really, really need to survive is the thing that you will cut off just because it got on your nerves for a moment.
Yeah.
Our city was in an uproar because of what happened. But people didn't think about it until later that, hey, I mean, I looted Rite Aid, but now my grandma needs her medication, and I don't have nowhere to go to get it because I operated in anger.
That's what happened to me. I couldn't get my grandparents' medication.
Yep. Listen, I couldn't get my own, so you know how I was feeling. I was, you know, we're operating in annoyance. And on top of that, sometimes because, and you know, I don't hold back no punches. Even in the church, you got people, not just in the natural, that have these positions and they're, they overstep their boundaries because they have some type of authority. That happens in the church, too. And because they feel like because I have a title or I have some type of authority, I can put my foot in your neck.
Right.
And I can suffocate you spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is, you know, because they see something in you that they don't have, they begin to get angry.
Right.
And they chase you until they think they can kill you. We need an example. Here we go. Saul was anointed king. He, because of the people, he lost his position, but he didn't lose his anointing.
Wow.
David then was anointed king, but he wasn't in the place where he can take position as king. So he had the anointing, but not the position to be king, because Saul was still rightfully king, but he lost his place in God. Saul saw what David had and began to chase David until the fact that he wanted to literally kill him. And when David had the opportunity to get Saul back, he did something so small, and that was cut a piece of his skirt. And the Lord was like, hey, listen, don't do that. Because at the end of the day, he's still anointed.
Wow.
So you telling me now somebody can try to kill me and I can't get them back? But that's what the words say.
I think that have to also understand that, like we talked about transparency, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. You know, this is, you know, we overcome by the blood and the land and the power of our testimony. I need to know that I'm not alone. And not only do I need to know that I'm not alone, because people will tell you that they're in that same situation. Now tell me how you beat it. Tell me how you overcame it. Like I need answers, and I can quote scriptures. I know scriptures, but I need a living witness. I need a testimony. I need to see somebody that was angry and got out of it. I need to see somebody who could have acted out their, you know, that thing that was that idea that was in their head, and they went the wrong way. I need to see somebody who messed up. And then they can tell me, look, You don't want to be mean. You don't want to do this because it'll put you in this situation. We need both. And I think that right now, like I saw the video of it was a young man who was talking to a 46-year-old man. He was in his 30s, and it was a 16-year-old young man. And it's a video that's like posted everywhere. And he says to the young man, he says, "We have to do another way." He said, "He's angry at 46. I'm angry in my 30s, and you're angry at 16. Don't be like me. Do something different." And we need to hear that so much in the house of God. Don't be like me. Don't take the path that I took. Go a different route. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, how can you say you love me but don't love the brother that you see every day? You don't see me. You don't see God. He said, how can you say you love me who you've never seen but can't love your brother who you've seen every day? He says, that man is a liar.
Yep.
It's impossible. So the first thing we have to really understand is you can't be a Christian and a racist. Let's just be clear. You can't be saved and divide people. It doesn't work. Because if you love your brother who you see every day, you'll show that love. If you love God, you'll show the love to your brother. God said, love your brother as yourself. So when you don't love me, do you really love you?
I was about to say, can we put a pin right there?
One of the issues
is that people really don't love themselves. And if you don't love yourself, you really can't show love to other people. You know, I can say all day long that I love you, but because of maybe I grew up in a toxic environment. So what was love to me may be toxic. So everything that I do to you will come off to you as toxic, but it was a way of love shown to me. Doesn't mean I didn't love you. It meant that I didn't know any other way to show it other than to be toxic. But then there are the people who really don't love themselves, so they can't show me what they have.
Wait a minute, we got a couple callers.
Oh, Lord.
We got a couple callers. I'm going to cut you off. Callers, I'm sorry. I was just letting them go. Can you please bring those callers in, please? God bless you. Thank you guys for calling. I believe it's like it's about two or three people. And I'm like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What up?
God bless you. How you doing today?
God bless you. Can you hear me?
Oh. Yes, I got you.
Oh, because I had left out everything. I figured y'all was in your thing. So I said, well, Jesus, let me go on outside. So I'm glad that you at least heard that we was all the way in. Y'all were great. You were talking about something. I hit the button a long time ago. Hey, what were you talking about? Anger.
Right.
And talking about being mad. And I pressed the button because I wanted to tell her she's got every right, because sometimes in 2020, you don't need it to be nice. Because if you've been doing it for forever and a day, like you know how you said, how long you going to stay there? 38 years? After a while. It's not even an anger thing, but then when you look at your children and then you look at what's going on, that makes you angry. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to saying walk right, saying do this, doing get this together, but there's a generational thing like you guys were just talking about. Like, I'm in my 40s, okay? So the same way that person just told the 30-year-olds to, you know, in the generations to do it, we need to go all the way to the point where if we can just be one for, like, 6 seconds. Because you can talk till you're blue in the face and you can talk about love, like you just said. You can't be a Christian and be a racist. I mean, it sounds great. It sounds really good. But then ask those questions. You have to ask the real question because, like you said, the church is not being real transparent. People come and they give you what they think that they give you what you think that you're supposed to be able to see. But right now in 2020, God is saying, come straight out the hip, because I need you to come straight out the hip, because before I come back, these people understand they need to see what it looks like in real life. Right now, in the midst of where we are, I hit the button a long time ago, but y'all were talking about something about anger, and I just wanted to say, like, as believers, there's a point in that where we are angry. We're looking at our generation do things that are not even about who and what we are. And that's simple. And then nobody wants to be talked to. No. Do you understand? There's a way deeper conversation that needs to go on, because when we talk where we are, like, I hear you guys talk, and you, the mother sister, you know, the mother sister that presses on you for wearing your skirt too tight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we have those mother sisters, but then we have another
mm-hmm.
feeling about those mother sisters. There's a generation in us that aren't even allowed to have that feeling.
Right.
Do you understand that? Not allowed
That's
to have that
right.
feeling in voices, but it doesn't. But it hasn't changed who we are. However, our children might be respecting a little bit better to the lady. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because at
mm-hmm.
one time we all respected that grandmom lady, but now if we are the people that are being told to put our clothes up or whatever, and we believe that we're sitting in a different place, so now we're not granted that mom's voice. So now your children are listening to the disrespect. You feel me? So it's, we're now three generations down. Who's going to stop? Who's going to get it together? Who's going to humble
right.
themselves to be able to be talked to in the manner of the way that they need to be talked to, and have to be able to stand there and understand it? Don't feel no type of way, because guess what? Get over it. Now you have to live. Now you have to raise your children. Now you have to be a believer. Now you actually have to love on your neighbors. We hide behind so many things. The
Amen.
Second that we be able, the second we come out and we are angry about the right things, and it is not about wrath, because like you said, be angry, but do not, you know, do not sin. And
right.
in that anger, we can do a whole lot, especially if it's channeled and focused in the right direction.
In the right way, yep.
The right direction,
yeah.
Because there is such thing as righteous anger. It is. It's definitely. Thank you. Thank you for calling. God bless you. Thank you again. All right. Is there was another caller? If there is another caller, oh wow, we have three more. Come
Ooh.
On. Who's that? God bless you. We thank you. We have three more callers. So, come on in. And because I want people to share their feelings and get things off their chest.
Caller, you're live on the
Hi, who's this?
We're live on the air. Okay,
right.
I'm going to bring your caller on, Reverend R.
Okay, and yes, ma'am. And then next, that person who was on, please call back in. All right, next caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, dear, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, what's going on? What's on your heart?
I don't really don't have no anger right now, because I'm keeping my faith unto the Lord. So I've been into my Bible, and I'm not feeling any anger right now.
Amen.
I'm just loving on God right now.
Amen.
You know, I was listening to Alicia Cooper, Pastor Cooper, and about her sons. I have sons too, and I fear for them too. I pray for them every time they leave out the house. That's about it that I'm really fearful of, my children.
Amen.
Everything else is good.
Amen.
I'm just sitting here enjoying your conversation, though.
Hey,
I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
And we thank God, and we ask that God continues to keep your children as they go outside, as they go out to the street. We definitely want to make sure that we keep your children covered. And we thank God that you have a sense of peace. You know, don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have that peace. And
amen.
Thank God you got it. You got it. And that's something to be proud of. That you was able to tell somebody, look, I got peace right now. Even in everything
now
going
I have
on,
peace.
I got
peace. Yes, I have peace. I have peace.
Listen here.
Yeah.
The Bible says when you keep your mind on Jesus, like, you know, you'll get a peace that surpasses, you know, all understanding. People might not understand the fact that you're having peace in the midst of a chaotic situation. But when Jesus was on the boat, oh Lord, when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples were panicking because the boat was rocky and different things were transpiring.
Yeah.
And they couldn't understand how Jesus could be asleep in a peaceful sleep in the midst of all this chaos. And Jesus got up and he said, very simple words, first, peace. Be still.
Be still, yes. Be still, yes.
Now, the disciples didn't understand it, but in the midst of chaos, Jesus can still give peace.
Right.
You know, so that's that's an awesome thing. People might not understand it, but still walk in the peace that you have.
Yeah.
Because later on, you may be the example to the one that's angry in the midst of this, and they watch you and see that you're being you have peace through it, and they're like, well, maybe there's something about her. Let me link up with her so that I can get that same type of result in the midst of all this chaotic stuff that I'm dealing with.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Reverend,
well,
I
know.
Amen.
Thank God for you. I'm glad you called. All right. Is there someone else? Is there another caller in here?
Y'all did two statements I wanted to address. And the first one was to Elder Alicia Cooper. When you talked about being angry and the anger that you deal with, when you get angry, oh, girl, you was preaching to the choir. I said, And I said, don't she sound like she talking about me? Because I remember those days. And hear how I said, I remember those days. Because there was a time that anger, if it showed up, took control. And I'm sharing that with you because people are trying to make you feel like if you're saved, you're wrong. It's wrong to get angry. And we got to remember, first is the righteous anger that the Lord allows us to have, that, you know, when we get angry about the sins we see and people blaspheming God and rebelling against God, we're allowed to get angry about that. But we're allowed to get angry about other stuff, too, because like he just said earlier, the word God said, get angry, but sin not. So he didn't say we couldn't get angry. We couldn't sin because of our anger.
Right.
And then the other thought that came to me was with Reverend Art when you said you were looking for the answer. And just like I'm a rape survivor. I've shared the story before, but I'm a rape survivor. And with one
me
of the
too.
Things that I found out is that with anger, forgiveness, those are things that people look at you and go, oh, you're a child of God. You're not supposed to have that. That's not what the Bible says.
Crazy.
But how
that's not what the Bible said at all.
Recognize it. If you look at, I believe it's Mark chapter 9, around the 24th verse, Jesus was talking to the father of a young boy who had epileptic seizures. And the father brought the boy to Jesus to heal him. And in the midst of their conversation before Jesus healed him, Jesus basically said to him, because the father was like, if you choose to, could you heal him? And Jesus turned around and basically said, and I'm summarizing it, y'all, and basically said, what you mean if? Don't you know all things possible to me? What you mean if I can do it?
Right.
And as soon as he heard him say that, the father said, Lord, I believe and help my unbelief. And that's the part I want to get to. When he said, Lord, I believe, as believers, we do have forgiveness in our heart. We get it from the Lord. We do have that peace that surpasses all understanding. We get it from the Lord, but that doesn't mean anger doesn't rise up. That doesn't mean resentfulness doesn't rise up. But when you see it rise up, do just like that man did. Lord, I know I got forgiveness, but help me where I don't have it at. Because the quicker you admit to God that you need it, the quicker he will give it to you. And it's not a one-day thing. This ain't a microwave thing. Every time you feel it come up, you say, oop, Lord, there go that resentment. I give it to you. Lord, there go that anger. I give it to you. Lord, there go that hatred. I give it to you. And you're going to look up one day and go, ooh, I ain't had to get after you in a long time. Thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
So if you know how to get rid of it, admit that you're dealing with it, and then give it to God. And you do have another caller.
All right, caller.
Are
you with us? Caller, are you with us?
Hi, how are you doing? This is Antonia Batts. I just wanted to say, how's everybody? And,
you
know, it's amazing when you talk about the subject involving anger. You know, it's so odd that from talking to some people since I've been back up north for some years now, the psychological association of whatever seem to have some people within those particular professions of the psychiatry world that I've noticed that have pretty much discriminated against people who were capable of expressing anger and tried to make it look like it was some type of psychosis instead of being a natural, you know, emotion that people were allowed to go through constructively. And as a result, it's hard to trust some people when they are in, you know, those professional circles, because if you do trust them, from what it seemed like after talking to some people, they have a tendency to being labeled and not being allowed to be themselves without hurting nobody, of course. So as a result, you know, I've heard constructive things about anger in the regular world before even hearing about these so-called psychoses when I returned up north. So as a result, you catch yourself watching your own back, watching people that are around you, watching people that try to label people and or yourself as a result of being able to express something that you may have the ability to voice your own opinion about constructively. So it's a good thing that you brought that up, because people don't even know they are allowed to express anger without having to hurt anybody or anything, like people who try to, in some of these professional circles, try to make them look like that they should not be able to be allowed to do. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I say thank you very much for saying all this, because I did hear in the Bible about anger being something that was expressive. They said, even when it mentioned God, Jesus was angered by some of the things he saw going on in a particular tent when he had to come upon people who were not living right. And I wanted to ask you your opinion on that. Do you think that anger is a healthy thing as long as it's being expressed properly?
As somebody who has mentored and who counsels, you are so accurate. I'm going to do this real quick. There are some things that we have to first look at, especially when it comes to African Americans, because we are discriminated against in the mental health field, especially when it comes to counseling. Our young men are so quick to be labeled ADHD or ADD and given medication when all they need is to ask, how are they doing? How are you feeling? What's going on? And because they're so active, they need to be talked to while they're being active. Now, are there cases? Yes. But the truth is, we are so discriminated against because it's a cash cow. And another thing is that having anger is human nature. You know how many times God got angry in the Bible? Like, God got angry so much till in the Old Testament, till it seemed like all he did was get upset. So if God himself can show his emotions and reconcile his emotions, do you understand God didn't just get upset, but God said, oh, man, you know what? I changed my mind about how I felt. Or God was about to destroy Nineveh, then he changed his mind. Then God was about to, you know, just wipe the earth with the flood for everybody, and then he says, you know what, I'm going to send a rainbow so that I can remind people that I won't do this again. Do you see how God dealt with his own emotions, his own anger, and he did it in front of people? So if God himself can figure out his own feelings, we have to too. Jesus Christ got angry, and then he explained his anger. So if God and Christ can do it, and he can reconcile and get things together and work things out, we can too. You are so right when it comes to mental health, when it comes to counseling and things like that. But I do believe that counseling is necessary. And I do believe that we have to find ways to release anger. And I think that there are constructive ways to release anger. So you are right on the money. I promise you are.
Amen. All right? Thank you. I thought it wasn't Amen. Just me noticing that.
Amen. You're right. You're so right. All right, guys.
God bless you.
I did not know the time was
well spent.
Yeah, I did not know the time was so late. It's almost 10 o'clock. We have to do the call of salvation because there's no point in talking about anger and how to deal with it if first we don't understand the love of Christ and what it means to have Christ in us. Elder, are you still with me? Elder, what I want to do is I'm going to do the call of salvation, and I want to know after I do the call of salvation, can you pray?
That is not a problem. I really want to hit that mark line that the lady was talking about earlier. I just want to give a little
right.
before we
right.
hang up.
All right, here's what we're going to do. For all those who are listening, we are going into archives. I think I can do that. I hope I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. So we are going into archives. It is 3 minutes before the 10 o'clock mark. I believe that either you can hear us directly on the phone or via live. I'm not sure. I have Pastor Toy coming as soon as we handle the call to salvation. And real quick, Elder Cooper is about to pray. And what I'm about to say is that I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated. I know you're tired. You're overwhelmed. You may be dealing with something. But what we all know is that whatever we're dealing with, the only answer is Christ. And there may be somebody listening right now on the phone, and they're trying to look for the answers. They're trying to search for something. They've tried drugs. They've tried alcohol. They've tried people. They've tried other religions. But I'm asking you to do me one favor, and that's try Jesus. And if you understand that you don't have to do anything but confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So the truth of the matter is that when you say, God, I just want you to come into my heart, forgive me for my sins because I'm a sinner, and change my heart, change my life, I want you to be Lord over my life. I want you to be my God. And you recognize this. You say, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And not only did you die, but you rose. And you're coming back for me. And once you make that simple confession, I promise you that you may have an experience where you may feel overwhelmed and you may feel like God is coming over you, and he is. And then you may not have that experience. The sparks may not fly. You may not feel different, but I guarantee you, you are. You're different. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says every single time somebody gets saved, heaven, the angels celebrate. So when you made that confession, heaven throw a party. They are partying in heaven because you made a choice to follow Christ. So right now, Elder Cooper is going to pray, and we are praying for those who are angry. We are praying for those who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we're praying for those who need answers. All right, Elder, the floor is yours.
God, we honor you, and we give you praise on tonight, Lord. God, we thank you for allowing us this platform to talk about anger, Lord God, something that's not too much talked about in the church, something that's not too much talked about, period, something that we try to keep swept under the rug. But God, we thank you for this platform more tonight, Lord God. God, we ask that you will go into the hearts of those who are angry, Lord God, and give them peace, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I ask that you would just resonate everything that was said on tonight, Lord God, and bring it back to the remembrance, allow them to reflect, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for those who accepted Christ on tonight, Lord God. God, we ask that you would send them to a Bible-believing church, Lord God, so they can learn more of you, Lord, and allow them, Lord God, to release the things that they've been attached to, God, in the name of Jesus. God, let them link up with somebody who can help them through, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Elder, you were about to get to a point, and I promise you, I didn't want to end this without you getting to your last point, because I have another point that I want to make too before we close out. Now, what was on your heart before we had to do this?
Somebody was talking about Mark chapter 9, and they were talking about the man who brought his son, and before he brought the son to Jesus, he first started out by bringing up to the disciples. And the thing is, like, you know, sometimes we go to the wrong people before we go to Christ. We talk to the wrong people before we talk to Christ. We allow people to speak into us before we allow, you know, Christ to speak into us. And they could not do the job that Jesus could do.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was able to heal and cast out the spirit that was inside of him. Who didn't have the power that Jesus had. So when you exhaust all your resources or feel like there's no more hope or there's nobody else to go to, be like the Father and say, hey, listen, help my unbelief. Jesus, I need you to do this. I can't depend on nobody else anymore.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to hit that because sometimes we put so much more emphasis on people than we do on the master.
Mm.
But the master is the one who has the power.
Amen, amen. See, I know you're trying to keep calm. I know you can preach that. You did good. You on your best behavior. I know if I gave you about 5 good minutes, you could really preach this. but here I'm gonna make this point, and then we're gonna close out. The Bible says, "Cry out loud and spare not," and it says, you know, that we are to show. And I'm not gonna paraphrase. I'm gonna read it. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." A lot of people use this scripture to say we need to show the world their sins. We need to show the world their transgressions. Let's be clear. He said the house of Jacob. Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said the house of Jacob. The house of Jacob is us. So when they were talking, he said, show the church their flaws. Show the church where they messed up. And we have put a lot of emphasis on trying to correct everybody outside, and we never got a chance to correct us. So there are some people who are angry. They're angry at the church. They're angry at the possibility of conforming to an institution that doesn't really show love for them. They're angry because the church is supposed to have answers. They're angry. Somebody, I know somebody personally who had COVID, and they were in the hospital, and I was praying with them while they were hooked up to every machine possible. I was on a video chat, and I literally saw them hooked on every single machine. You know, tubes down her tubes in her arms, tubes in her nose. It was ridiculous. And, you know, I prayed with her, and then she called me 2 days later and said, hey, I'm coming home. And we prayed, and we thanked God for her coming home. But then she said something to me that really hurt me. She said, I thank you for calling me and keeping in touch and checking on me, because my church didn't do it. Do you know how bad that broke my heart? Like, you know, it's one thing to have sick and shut on a list, but who's making the calls? Who's visiting the sick? Do you know that's our reasonable service? Those are mandates for being a Christian. Checking on the sick, making sure the widow, the single mother, the single parent is okay, making sure that people have clothing and they have food. That's our mandate. That's in the bylaws. You get saved, you become a part of the body of Christ. These are the rules and regulations. It's on a dotted line. And when she said to me that I thank you for sticking with me, because nobody called me from my church. My family checked on me, but nobody from my church called. It broke my heart. And then I was trying to explain to her, you know, the church gotta, you know, we're out here, we're doing things. And she says, the church hasn't been the church in a long time. And for a while now, I've been hearing, you know, your church is different. Your church is different. And a lot of people think that's a compliment. It's not a compliment. What it does is it lets me know that as a body, we're not really doing what we're supposed to do. So, you know, I just want to let people, if we're going to do anything, the first place we got to start is at home.
Right.
You know, the first place we got to, everybody out here that's angry, we should have been the solution. We should have been the hope. But we was too scared to open up our doors. We was too scared to talk to the people. We was too scared to reach out and touch somebody. Nah, we go ahead, do your thing. But while there was an angry people out there, the church needed to be the hope, needed to be the answer. And I believe that we're going to be the answer too. I don't think that it's over. We have an opportunity to be the answer. Somebody's to the hope that's within us, within Christ Jesus. We're going to be the answer for our salvation, to explain to somebody why you need to have what I have. And if we're going to get there, I promise. I promise we're going to get there. So I'm sorry. I almost said pastor and elder.
Watch your language.
Listen. We had this conversation. I'm not going to have the conversation on the air. I promise I'm not going to have the conversation on the air about you being a pastor. I'm not going to do that
to
you.
Watch your language. Watch your language.
Listen, when you get yours, I'll get mine. Okay? But until that day, I just want you to just give some last encouraging words for those who are listening. And then we're going to wrap up. And we're going to wrap that up, all right?
My last encouraging words. The Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony. And our testimony helps other people. If you're going through on tonight and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get over the anger, link up with somebody who has been there. Because at the end of the day, they can teach you what you don't know. They can bring you out of what you're currently into. You know, and for those who have that testimony, I used to be angry. I used to go off on everything. Share it. It is okay.
Right.
And I understand we don't want to share our testimony, because while God says, you know, I'll take your sins and I'll throw them as far as the east from the west, you know, people take your sins and you could be, you know, off drugs forever. You could not be an alcoholic anymore and everybody still remember you as an alcoholic and a drug addict. It's not fair. But there are people who need to hear your story so they can know that they have hope for something better.
Right.
You're right.
With that being said, God bless you. I thank everybody for listening. I thank God for those callers. Thank God for those who got up here and they had words of encouragement. I also thank the person that called in and said, right now, even with worrying about my children, I got peace. Because we needed to hear somebody with peace too. So
yes.
I thank everybody. Elder, I thank you again.
Bless you.
And you, like I said, you were on your best behavior. You had moments where you could have just took this thing and ran with it and started preaching, but you didn't.
I was trying.
I kind of wish you did. See, here's what I really want. I'm not going to lie to you. While we're on the air, I'm going to let people know what I really want because, see, you know, after the logistics, we only really got 35 minutes. I had to do the introduction. We had to do the call of salvation, and then we had to do the closing remarks, which we haven't even done. So there's a 35-minute gap of just real conversation. What I really want is for 35 minutes for you to just preach, and then I just sit here and shut up. So
maybe another.
That's what I want. That's what the Lord is putting in my spirit. I'm just going to put that out there. That's what the Lord is telling me right now. I put my prophetic voice on. That the Lord is telling me
right now, just for 35 minutes,
that we can get a word from the woman of God. So
I'll do it. Only, you know, I can't disappoint my fans, you know.
You know, you're horrible. I really want to preach
for 35 minutes, but if the Lord says so.
I know, you one of them bougie preachers, y'all. You one of them, you them new hippie preachers. Y'all got like 20-minute words, and then y'all get out.
Get out your way.
So, all right, so we're going to pray.
We're going to close out.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything. We even thank you for our struggles because you told us we should look to the hills from which comes our help. And we know that our help coming from you. And we're not going to despise small beginnings. And we're not even going to, you know, look at this as a moment that hinders us. We're going to look at this as a moment that's going to help us, that's going to allow us to create and rebuild and uplift and encourage, God. Because when troubles get hard, when times get hard, that's when we get to work. That's when you call in your laborers, your vineyard workers. So, God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for PKN. We thank you for Elder Cooper. God, continue to bless her, touch her ministry, touch her mind, touch her children. Give her what she needs in this moment, God, and you begin to feed her even the more. God, as she begins to grow and develop and step out, God, God, you direct her path. You be a light. You be a light within her. And let her see the next move. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again. Thank all of you for listening. I'm going to let Pastor Tori come in, and hopefully she takes care of everything from there. God bless you.
Pastor, are you with us?
Praise the Lord. We thank each and every one of you for being in with us this evening. We thank and bless God for Reverend Arthur Burgess III. And for Elder Elisha Cooper, and the only reason I caught myself on the word pastor was because I heard her get on you that you can't do what God has called you to do.
Oh,
so,
come on, no.
We bless God for each and every one of you. We invite you to join back in with us tomorrow evening. We have a new sports ministry coming on board with former welterweight champion Nate Miller. He will be broadcasting live at 9 p.m. right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter and LinkedIn. Facebook and LinkedIn, we're Purpose Kingdom. Instagram and Twitter, @Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, to pray for you, as well as to assist you in any way that we may be able to. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Thank you all for joining in with us this evening, And if it be the will of God, we'll see you tomorrow evening, 9 p.m. God bless you.
All right.
Jesus bless.
Everybody have a good night.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.